Today on Real Radio.
Knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is the acquisition of information, but wisdom is the very tool by which we use that knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world and be absolutely void of wisdom.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through the New Testament letter of James. Now, this book was written by the half-brother of our Messiah, and it's known for its encouragement to seek divine wisdom. In verses 13 through 18 of the third chapter, James uses very strong language to differentiate the wisdom that comes from above from the earthly or even demonic wisdom. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs right now in a presentation called Who Has Wisdom?
James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The title of the message is, Who Has Wisdom? And that's with a question mark on the end. Who has wisdom? It's been said that we live in an age where, and in fact, they tell us that knowledge is increasing every 18 months. We double knowledge. We double the acquired knowledge now every 18 months in the world. But listen, knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is the acquisition of information. But wisdom is the very tool by which we use that knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world and be absolutely void of wisdom. Now, the Bible tells us rarely does it encourage us to seek after knowledge. What it does demand of the Christian, though, that we what? Seek after wisdom, that we search after it diligently, because wisdom will save your life. Wisdom will keep you on the straight and narrow path. And James, of course, is writing to an audience that in his day was living in very difficult times. Their world was, so to speak, coming apart after they had given their lives to Christ. They had been expelled from their homes, expelled from their nation. As these Jews came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they were greatly mistaken. And even among their own countrymen, they were persecuted and they were cast away and cast out. That's why James says, I'm writing this in chapter 1 to the diaspora, those of the dispersion. Because they were seeking shelter for their own life, becoming Christians, because the view of Judaism, and in fact the worldview, was that these people who call themselves Christians had forsaken all knowledge. They had given up on what was reasonable and logical and smart, and they went after this Christ, this itinerant preacher that came out of Galilee, this one who didn't make his abode in palaces, and he didn't rule and reign like the world was expecting the Messiah to reign. And so when Jesus came, not only was his ministry often mistaken, but his followers were mistaken. And the world began to persecute the Christian, those that drew near to Christ and received him as Lord and Savior. And because of that, their life was very difficult. And knowledge wouldn't have helped all that much, but wisdom from God would have given you, if you were being persecuted and living that age, it would have given you a great insight into what was going on. Wisdom that comes from above. Now the knowledge is, hey, they're throwing stones at us. Knowledge says, these stones hurt when they hit us. Knowledge says, I need to run. Wisdom says, and wisdom teaches how to deal with the situation God's way. Listen. Every one of us, every moment of the day, are faced with decisions. Someone has said that we make over 250 decisions a day. Now, when I first heard that number, I thought, well, that can't be true. But you start to think about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, should I take another bite, whatever it might be, and you make these decisions. Some of them are not so important. Some of them we can live without. Some of them are absolutely going to save our lives. And I'm convinced that a lot of our decisions that we make in this life are very much led by God, that we may not even understand it or know it. But wisdom allows us, and this is the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom we're going to be looking at this morning, this wisdom allows us to appropriate knowledge and to make decisions and to make choices that will be honorable to not only God, but to those of us in the body of Christ, and even to our very, very own being, our very own person. And we'll see that this morning. So if you can relate with the early Christian, if your life is difficult, if your life's a struggle, if there's things in life that you don't have all the answers for, you're wondering what is going on, the answer is not necessarily knowledge or more knowledge. What we need is the wisdom of God. And of course, James told us about that earlier on in this great book of his, that God gives wisdom liberally to any of those who will ask. So we need to remember that. We're going to see 3 points of the message this morning. That's in verse 13. Who has wisdom? Well, in verse 13, we'll see those who have a good conduct. So you can jot that down in your notes. Verse 13, those who have a good conduct have wisdom. Wisdom from above. And then the second point is in verses 14 to 16, and that is, who has wisdom? Those who recognize the conflict. This is rather surprising, but we'll see this morning that there's a great conflict amongst those and internally within those who have wisdom. You would think maybe it's the opposite, but it's not true. There's a conduct, there's a conflict, and then in verses 17 through 18, who has wisdom? Those who have a godly character. Those who have a godly character. And so let's look at the first point this morning found in verse 13. Who has wisdom? And that is those who have a good conduct. He says, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Remember, James is talking to us about the Christian life publicly. Remember this. It's been that way all the way through. Remember, he's talking to us about faith. How do you know if you have faith? Well, people will know by our living, by how we conduct ourselves. Remember, he says, what faith, what kind of faith is a profit to anybody? If you see your brother and sister hungry or without clothing adequate for the weather, and you say to them, well, that's tough. Be warm and be filled. God bless you. And you turn and walk away not blessing them at all. James says, that's not faith. Because real Christian faith, tangibly, publicly, is exhibited. And so James is saying this morning, real godly wisdom is tangible. People will be able to see it. People will be able to know it. Because James is talking about the public Christian life and how they live. So we'll have a good conduct. Those who have wisdom from God have a godly reputation. A godly reputation. It doesn't mean that reputation is going to be under attack. In fact, if you have a godly reputation, what's going to happen? Listen, not only will demons and devils try to attack that reputation, but sometimes even Christians will attack another Christian's reputation. We'll talk about that more later. But the thing is, we are to have a good conduct, a godly reputation. James is asking another question again, as he always does in his book. Who is wise and understanding among you? It demands an answer. And his answer he gives. He says, let him show by good conduct. This word good conduct, some of your Bibles say conversation, or having a good conversation. That doesn't mean, though it does include talking well, it does include that, but it's not what it means. It means your lifestyle. The word conduct is having a good lifestyle. That somebody can look at you and say, you know what, they live a commendable life. They live a life that is pointing me to Christ. They live a life that is pointing me to Scripture. When I watch their life, I want to know more about Jesus. Can people say that about me? Can people say that about you? It's very important. That's what James is talking about. So whoever's wise has a good conduct, and it's going to be able to be seen. The first thing that we see regarding this is that we're all called to be wise and understanding. Look at that right there. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? The word among you means it's to be expected among us as Christians. James is asking us the question, isn't he great? He's so pointed to the point there. Remember in his Jewishness, he was asking questions before. He says, who's wise among you? Points to the church. Well, it's not kind to point. James would say, I don't care what you say about me pointing my finger. James points with his words. Who's wise? Well, you're like, well, I've got a PhD, so I must be wise. That's not what it means. It's not what he's talking about. Not knowledge. Wisdom will be seen in a good character. A godly conduct. Wise and understanding. The word wise means clear. So we're called to be clear. We see this in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by a good conduct. Being wise is being clear. There's no murkiness. It's very, very clear. The word means untainted regarding our resolve to have the ability to act upon what we know, and wisdom implementing or putting into action that clarity. It means to understand God is holy. So you know what? I'm going to strive to be holy in my outward conduct. That counts before men. The word understanding, this word is a great word. It means to be well-informed, having insight to the issues. It can also be translated having the know-how. Having the know-how. James takes the lofty teaching of heaven and brings it right down to where we're supposed to put it into practice, having the know-how. Who's wise and understanding among you? Who has the clarity? It's the person that has the wisdom of God. It's the person that has a godly conduct practiced in this life. They have this wise or clear understanding. It's untainted, and it is something that is very, very usable. It has know-how, elbow grease. It's not some kind of a monastery type of pie-in-the-sky dream of boy if. James says no because this is how we're going to live. So we're all called to be wise and understanding. Isaiah 33, verse 6 says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Boy, don't we need stability in our times? And the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is his treasure. Boy, wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and understanding. We need that today. Look at the things that are going on in the world. Hey, the knowledge of that can cause you to have a heart attack. Wisdom will say, you know what? I have a clear understanding of what's going on, and I know what to do right now. Do we know this? Some people in this body may or may not have money. If you have money, you know what? God gave it and God can take it away. It's his money, isn't it? It's his money, isn't it? Amen. All right, amen. Hallelujah. You got that, didn't you? You kind of forgot that. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, well, we're going to use gold for asphalt, remember? It's going to be great. So cheer up. When the market opens tomorrow, he's, praise the Lord. It's okay. He's got a plan. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the scripture says, the fear or the awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and good understanding. Have all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever. The next thing we see here in verse 13 is that we are to have a new lifestyle regarding our living. It says, let him show by good conduct. Let him show it. We're to have a lifestyle that is to be lived, and it's to be shown. This is interesting because most of our understanding of Bible is Jesus teaching us, you know, do what you do regarding religious things quietly and privately. Don't let it be seen by men. And that is true. But what James is saying here concerning your godly conduct, you know what? Let people see it. It goes right in line with when Jesus says, let your light so shine before men. It doesn't mean that you go, hello, hey, I'm a Christian. I tithe. I'm an usher. You don't do that. But what you do is you show forth this good conduct by your lifestyle. It means bless others, show it, display it. The very word show means to make it public. To make it public. I got to tell you, I was not being public. I didn't want to be, and I didn't need to be at that moment. I was so blessed Wednesday morning flying up to Seattle because I sat down in the airplane and I looked out the window because I had a very heavy situation on my mind and it was crushing me. And it was just heavy on my heart. And I was really just saying, Lord, show me what to do about this thing. Show me the clarity on this thing. And I'm just looking out the window. There was no evidence of me being a Christian. I was just sitting there silent looking out the window. And this lady was seated not next to me, but there's an empty seat, and then there's a lady sitting in the aisle. And I'm going to say she was maybe 50, 55-ish, and I'm looking out the window. This lady leans over, and she says, now, you got to understand, I have no Christian sticker on my backpack. I had no markings, nothing. I didn't have What Would Jesus Do sticker in my, you know, yeah. On me, none of that. This lady says, do you mind, I want to share something with you. And I thought, great. But, you know, I went, yes. And she says, you know, I have a message for you from the Lord. And I thought, oh, here we go. I've never seen this lady, and come to find out, she didn't know me, I didn't know her. She said, and she went down this list of exactly things that have been going on in my life. Exactly! And she went line by line and she said, the Lord wants you to know that He is pleased with you. That don't become weary at well-doing. Don't give up. Don't cave in. Don't listen to the words of men. Follow Him alone. And I'm going like this. And I mean to tell you, I got goosebumps started going up on my back. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I honestly thought in my mind, goosebumps are going up my back because this lady is nailing my life right on target. This is awesome. This is exactly what I needed to hear. This is wonderful. But I didn't want her to know that. So I'm like, I'm going like this. And then I'm trying to keep from crying. And I'm just there, and then she got done, and she said, by the way, what do you do for a living? I'm curious because the Lord gave me this to give you. What do you do for a living that you would need to hear this? And I said, I pastor a church. And she says, honey, of course you do. And she went right back, and she was reading Gone with the Wind. That woman, listen, by the time I got to Seattle, I was able to do the message Wednesday night in Seattle. I was heading up there and I didn't know how in the world I was going to even get to the church. I didn't even want to go to the church. I wanted to go into the forest and die somewhere. Lord, you know, oh, it was wonderful. I had so much knowledge. This woman had wisdom from above. My knowledge was not doing anything for me. God sent wisdom. And her lifestyle was displayed publicly right to me. Nobody else knew. Nobody else needed to know. I was so incredibly ministered to. Fantastic. Listen, our lifestyle, we've been changed. We are Christians. We have been delivered from the previous world that we once lived in. We're no longer like the world. We don't look to the world anymore. The world, when they look at us, we may be dressed like the world. We may have a shirt on that the world sells. Where else are we going to buy our clothes? We might have, I don't know, Ross Dress for Less shoes on. Whatever the case might be. Listen, that in and of itself displays nothing. But inside we're different. And when given the opportunity, we can make it public. When somebody says to you, hey, what's that in your car? They might recognize your Bible. Say, it's a Bible. Don't say, well, it's a cookbook. Tell them it's a Bible. They might be asking for a purpose. Let our public witness of Christ be known. Our lifestyle is different. And you know what? I don't care what the world tells us. The world is hurting, and they want an answer. their life stinks. That's why drug sales is up. That's why, especially in America, you know, we take more painkillers than any other nation. People are afraid of life. They're afraid of all the things that come with life. Alcoholism, because the world is miserable. We're Christians. We have the only answer that can change their life. And will come by our lifestyle. The next thing we see in verse 13 is that our works prove our new lives. It says that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. His works, public works, the things that we do. The things that we do are done in meekness of wisdom. The word meekness means, of course, you know, power under control. But also, this word meekness can be translated as it is here in this particular verse and chapter, to respond with mildness, not to be critical or judgmental. The person who has a godly conduct, the wisdom of God in their life, their works are done in meekness. That is, they're not looking at people and they're picky and critical. The word means here to be responding with mildness, gentleness, not with a haughty, self-righteous arrogance, lording their Christianity over another. No, not at all. Very gentle. So we see that we need to have a conduct that is godly and that it can be also seen to those that are around us. The second point we see in verses 14 to 16 is that we are to recognize the conflict. And we'll see this in three ways. We'll see that the Christian needs to be aware of the conflict, first of all, and also that the conflict is against our, listen, self-life. And this is a blessing in disguise. And then the third thing we'll see in this point is that the conflict we face is very, very much spiritual. Very, very spiritual. We'll come back to these in a moment. Those who recognize the conflict, who is wise? Who's a wise man? Well, first of all, it's those who recognize the conflict. Verse 14 through 16. He says here, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, so there's another wisdom. There's a different wisdom. That's not God's wisdom. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is in fact, it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Now, wouldn't you like to be able to understand verses 14 to 16 to apply to the non-believer? Well, if I'm a believer, I must have godly wisdom, and non-believers have devilish wisdom. That's not what James is teaching us. James is teaching us that those who are wise recognize that there's a conflict in the life of the Christian. Has anyone not caught on to that yet? Let me encourage you a little bit. The more you continue on in Christ, the more difficult the wars and the warfare and the spiritual attack becomes.
Pastor Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Who Has Wisdom? A question that serves as the title of this look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who has wisdom? Part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter written by the half-brother of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, Pastor Jack delivered a mini-series here on Real Radio that examined the controversial Faith Without Works is Dead passage in chapter 2. Well, we're offering this now in a 2-CD package, Salvation by Faith or Works. Salvation by Faith or Works is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Just ask for Pastor Jack's CD series called Salvation by Faith or Works. You can get a hold of us by phone if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 1-877-RR-RADIO, or visit our website, realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.